Philadelphia Eagles.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Cheers from the Press Box. I'm your host, Brennan Tassif, joined as always by my great friend and co-host, Mr. Joe Dorville. What's up, man?
What is going on, buddy? How are you?
Good, man. For those of you who are new to the show, sorry, let me get out. I was looking at cars. I got to take this off.
We're having a lot of discussions.
Yes, we were. We're going to go through all the major topics happening in all the major sports. So that means playoffs. The NBA playoffs. There are some matchups we're going to kind of zoom through because we are recording this late and we're going to try and keep it a tight episode. But then there's some we're going to go a little bit more in depth on. From there, we'll go to the quick hits. The NHL playoffs have finally started.
Finally begun.
I had a friend at work be like, are you going to do an NHL playoff breakdown? And I was like, when are they starting those? Then we have the WNBA draft, and then we will talk Fulham Corner. The Fulham, our mighty Fulham. Anyway, we're going to start this week the same way we do every week. Joe!
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off.
Here we go. We are talking NBA playoffs. As we record this, timestamping it right now, we still have 6 minutes and 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter of the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. I believe we had that, though. I'm going to call that now.
We? You're going to say we?
Yeah, I told you I was taking Golden State.
I feel like you were a little bullish on Houston, and I was like, I then had to jump in there and say Golden State's going to sweep them.
You were like, I didn't say sweep.
Thompson, Sengun, Fred VanVleet, and I was like, I don't give a damn about any of them.
I said repeatedly, I think Golden State's going to win the series. I was interested. Last week we talked about our most intriguing matchup. I was the most intrigued by this. OKC Spurs.
That's what it was. I wasn't intrigued at all.
Yeah. I was just thinking maybe
OKC. I thought it was going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be
2012, the young Russell Westbrook and James Harden taking down the mighty.
Blood sacrifice.
Anyway, we're going to get to that. That's the last game we're going to talk about, obviously, because it's still happening right now. We're going to go in order chronologically, starting with Saturday, Indiana Pacers versus the Milwaukee Bucks. Dame's still not out there. Getting into a bit of a chirping match, though, with Pascal Siakam.
And Haliburton.
Yeah, and Tyrese as well. Indiana cleaned this game up. It was obviously at home because Indiana's the favorite team, right? No. Yes.
Indiana was home.
Yeah, because they were wearing the cool indie.
They were wearing
jerseys.
The dumb indie jerseys.
Yeah, the city jerseys.
I was gonna say let's get this out the way because this may come up throughout the playoffs entirely. Adam Silver, I'm looking squarely at you. There's no reason. Look, in the regular season, you want to do that alternate jersey shit and that alternate court shit. Like, fine. I understand. In the playoffs, tell the teams to pull that dumb shit away. All right?
Yes. We know. We have known since they started
doing
this.
We need brand recognition as soon as you turn on the TV. Also, we should never have another instance where a team wins the NBA Finals and then never wears that jersey again.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened with the Nuggets.
It is also weird, too, because I was watching that game and I kept being like, these Indiana jerseys are weird.
So odd.
I kept
so
focusing
odd
on that. They cleaned
like
up though. Dame. Yeah, Dame should be back either game two or game three is what he said. But it was, I think they won by 23 points. Indiana did. It was kind of a blowout. So don't have to spend much of the time on that. Indiana's a good team. We knew Indiana was a good team. They don't get talked about a lot because they're the Indiana Pacers. But yeah, I think they're going to take care of this team. So moving on to the next game was Joe's Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Clippers, who have been on a heater the last month of the season going into the playoffs. James Harden, who I talk about every year, choking in the playoffs, was looking so good at the start. Looked actually pretty good in this game, but your Denver Nuggets come back to win it. Goes to overtime. And what do you got? What are we talking about?
The Los Angeles Clippers, very good team, very competitive team, but also a very limited team. Got what, 13? Wow, them and the Lakers both got 13 points from their benches. Batum hit three of the most unconscionable three-pointers that were crucial to keeping them in this game. People draped all over him. His only points, those three threes, people right in front of his face, and he just like just knocking them down. But no, James Harden was spectacular. James Harden, I haven't watched him routinely since he's made this move to the Clippers. So his game has gotten less bogged down in the, you know, trying to get 13 fouls a game against him. But the problem for the Clippers and the problem for any team it's been my one sticking point for, you know, these playoffs and just how I've assessed them. If Nikola Jokic can do what he does and Jamal Murray can complement him, it opens up the floor for so many people, and it just makes it that much harder to beat the Denver Nuggets. The Clippers should have ran away with this game, if we're being completely honest. The Nuggets started that game, they got punched in the mouth, and they didn't know what to do, and they looked like the softer team.
It looked bad.
They looked like they were getting ready to get ran off the court. And then in the second quarter, from the second quarter on, they buckled down. They started playing actual defense. They started going for offensive rebounds. They started chasing down loose balls. Like, they started playing with a level of urgency that they didn't in the first quarter. And once that happened, the game completely turned on a dime.
Jamal hit those. I don't know if it was back to back threes, but it was threes pretty like.
Yeah, pretty close together.
And that was in the second quarter. And I was like, uh oh.
Yeah, I was about to say. And then the fourth quarter is where he hits the three to tie it up, and it's like, okay, all right. You know, like, they were chasing the whole game, and then I don't think they finally get a lead until, like, late in the fourth, and then they give it up. Jokic could have ended it with two free throws. He missed those two free throws. He ends up making them in overtime. But, no, there was just a – they were just getting out-wanted. Like, that want to. They were just getting out, you know. Loose balls, offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, that extra effort. They just weren't giving it early on. And just a few moments late in the game, you saw Christian Brown hit a three with confidence, shooting with confidence.
Because
Jokic is going to get you the ball where you need to get it. You have to shoot with confidence. So he finally put one up with confidence. Bang. Threw one in the corner to Russell Westbrook. Bang. Like,
Russ hit one too. I forgot about
that. It was insane. Like, and Russ had, this was really like the perfect microcosm of a Russ game. Yeah, there were moments where he's having boneheaded plays, and then there's moments where just brilliance. But yeah, no, it was a really great game. A nail biter, like you said, overtime game. I just see the Nuggets being able to win this just because. Like, there's really no rhyme or reason. Just because. Like, they are, when they play as a complete team, they are a complete team. Like, they have really no weaknesses.
Yeah, we've talked about it the whole season. As long as Murray can be Murray, and Aaron Gordon can give them some semblance of something. Well, it doesn't even have to be Gordon. It could be any.
Yeah, it could be Gordon, or it could be Michael Porter, or it could be Brown, or it could be,
But they need that third guy, that third kind of role player to show up. And as long as Jamal can hit just a few shots to take the pressure off of the Joker, they're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But the Clippers were playing so well at the end of the season, and they played well in this game. Harden was playing out of his mind. Kawhi had a couple of dumb turnovers too, and you're just kind of like, what? And then, like I said, when Jamal hit those two big shots, I think it was a three and then a long two, I was like, oh, this is going to be this. The Clippers might lose this in the second quarter. I was like, they might lose the handle on this game. All right. We're going to try and get through the New York Knickerbockers and the Detroit Pistons kind of quickly. New York let Detroit hang around. It was a physical game like we thought it would be. A lot of pushing, a lot of shoving, a lot of talking. And then Jalen Brunson in the fourth quarter was like, hold my beer. And they put 40 on him in the fourth quarter. Smoke. Ended up winning this game by quite a wide margin. Let me get up.
21-0 run in the fourth.
And they were down in the fourth, too. They were down by, I think, 8. And when they went on that run, ended up winning the game by 12. Anything you got on this one? 11, excuse me.
we saw the more seasoned team prevail. You got good games. You got a great game from Brunson. You got a good game out of Cat, OG.
OG, 44 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, this is the playoff. That is what it requires. That's another thing. Like, all these people touting, like, deep rotations and whatnot. It's like, okay, that's cute in the regular season, but when every possession matters and every bucket matters, like, you're going to only go but so far down.
Eight max. That's like, all you need. Eight max.
So, yeah, no. You saw a more seasoned team put up the more seasoned performance. You saw the more seasoned players just outplay the young guys who are shell-shocked. This is their first time at the rodeo. It's the first time at the dance. I would love if the Pistons won just because it would be funny, but they got to get their sea legs. They were up, you know, but you got to close a game. That's
the perfect example. We're seeing it right now with the game that's playing out on the TV of these younger teams that are playing really well in the regular season, coming back from these atrocious seasons either a year ago or 2 years ago. And now, you know, they're playing well and they're good. But to the point that you made last week and we've been talking about pretty much the whole season, when you get to the playoffs, it's a different animal. Detroit in three quarters looked like either they could hang and or were the better team and then got blown out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Just got a tidal wave. Just took just started, over.
Yeah, and so it was bad. For the three we've talked about so far, I think Indiana is clear cut. I think New York is clear cut because, like you said, the Detroit's got to get their sea legs. The Denver,
I don't know if it's clear cut. I still have that one going 6-7 in my mind. I think. Okay,
I was going to say
Detroit
five,
figures some things out.
Yeah, yeah, and they're a very physical team. They'll win one game just off of like fouls.
Yeah.
The Denver Clippers series is one I'm very excited about.
It's a toss up.
Yeah, that one's it could go. I want Denver to win, obviously, for you, but not only that, but because I think Jokic, you know, deserves with the season he had to make it past the first round, hopefully to the conference championship, but we'll see.
I can see that series being a 7-game series, or I could see it being 5 of the toughest games you've ever seen.
Yeah, very
like it's a 5-game like the Lakers first round series last year. Yeah. Like 5 games, but every game felt like it was a game 7 somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Because we've seen that before with Denver, where they've swept teams before, and you're like, yeah, but just a couple of things go a different way.
A couple of bounces, a couple of shots this way, a foul this way. Like, oh, man.
Speaking of that, one of those teams that happened to with twice was the Los Angeles Lakers, who are going against Minnesota. Anthony Edwards, I don't know what else to say. This Minnesota team, It's strange too because they had a top defense last year. They've been playing kind of up and down this year, you know. But they held.
I called this, by the way.
You did. You did call this. They held LeBron.
Let's not get too far without, you know, me saying I called it.
We called a lot of this. We were texting back and forth.
That's what the show is all about, as Kyle has pointed out several times. It's just about us saying we called that.
But there's so many things we're right about. It's insane. It's almost like we know what we're talking about. Yeah, so Minnesota ends up winning this game 117-95. LeBron.
The 95 is the part that's like.
Yeah,
man.
That's the staggering.
Also, it's Luka the
Doncic
117.
And LeBron James.
It's the 117. Because after the trade happened, people got real hyperbolic real fast.
Yeah.
Real fast. And we had a little different. We had differences of opinions. I thought I didn't think they were tanking the season more or less, but I thought this is not going to be like a well-oiled machine, like really fast. It's going to take a while. This is more for next season. And then they rattled off after losing like 2 or 3, they rattled off 6 games. And at that point, like their defense was top of the lead since, you know, the Luka trade and everything. And it's like, okay. It's easy to guard, you know, Denver on a random Wednesday in the middle of March. But when teams are locking in for 7 games, the intensity becomes different and it's not as easy. And you're playing more games in a more, you're playing more high pressure games in a constricted time frame. So recovery time is not going to be easy for a 40-year-old man is one of the things, you know, I was putting out there. And LeBron didn't break 20 in this game.
Yeah.
Luka.
And they have a, Minnesota has size between Randall, Gobert,
and that was the
Nas
other
Reed.
Big thing. As somebody who dealt with this team last year, their size, even with getting rid of Cat, they still brought in another 6'9", 6'10 guy in Julius Randle. Their size is an issue. And I've been hearing people, shout out to Mike on Jenkins and Jones. He was poo-pooing the notion of Nas Reed entirely. And
Nas
I'm
Reed
like,
hit a three in this game.
I'm like, guys, Nas Reed hit 6 threes in this game.
That's what I'm saying. He's hitting them.
I was like, guys, I have made this crucial mistake before. I've underestimated how good this team is. I've underestimated how good Nas Reed is, Jaden McDaniels. And I said, I mean, you can go back and listen. I said, look, last year Ant took out KD, and this year you're giving him the chance to take out LeBron and Luka. Like, that's the shit that guy lives for.
Yeah,
like he
100%.
Wakes up in the morning like, I get to do this.
Yeah. And we talked about this going into the season. We talked about this. We said they are comfortable getting rid of Cat because of how well Nas Reed was playing. We said this.
Yeah.
And he came out playing like that. And it's crazy to me to think too, because we're kind of talking out of both sides of our face because of what we just said about the rosters, and Minnesota played everybody except Joe Ingles.
Well, they got to, because, you know, once you're like, blowing a team out, you get to throw everybody
yeah,
in
you
there.
You kind of get to throw people in there. But the thing I want to...
It's really, if you look at the time distribution,
the breakdown, yeah.
It's really 8 guys.
Yeah, it is. It's still just 8 guys. The thing I do want to say, though, is Anthony Edwards... It's astounding to me because I watched this game and now I'm like, it's weird. When I watch a game, a lot of times I won't look at the stats because I'm like, no, I watched it. Like watching the game. And then if you don't see the plus minus, you just see Anthony Edwards like primary numbers. You're like, oh, he didn't like he wasn't awesome. Like he had 22. Like, what's the big deal? His plus minus is plus 21. I think almost all the Lakers are negative. And yes. He was such a force. Like you have to fade off and double all the time. You have to send help all the time. He loves playing aggressively, and he opens up the door for so many other actions on the court.
And that I think that's the most important thing. I was about to say I think his stats are a little less than impressive because he did have like a calf strain or something where he had to leave for a little bit, came back. But I think the most important number in his stat sheet is the 9 assists.
Yeah.
Like you said, opening the door for other people. Before, you would kind of see him kind of that bull in the china shop ramming his head against, like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah.
But now he is inviting the double team, and it's like, okay, I can get an easier shot for somebody else. And the belief and trust that they have in all those guys is really what makes this engine run. Like, I'm going to throw the Nas Reed because you might not know he's going to make 6 threes tonight, but I believe he's going to make 6 threes tonight.
It's also one of my favorite things, the post game, because I watched some of the post game press conference. The fact that Anthony Edwards, being the age that he is, taking responsibility, he's not showboating. He takes responsibility for the whole team. So when they ask a question to another player that he feels like it was his response, he will answer the question, which I adore about him. When they're like, hey, Julius Randle, you know, you did this, this, and that. And then he'll be like, well, actually, you know, we were just playing the game we wanted to play. Julius is a big part of that. So that's what we're going to keep doing. And it's like, okay, all right.
Yeah. I mean, he was doing that with Kat there. And it was like, Kat, you're supposed to be the vet. You've been here, you know, 6+ years.
And I said it back then. Like when he would defend Cat, last year I was saying it, like, that shows a lot of leadership to be like, no. Like, don't come for me. This is my team now. Come. If you want to come at anybody, come at me. I love it when coaches do it. I love it when like star players do it. This is on me. It's the anti Aaron Rodgers where it's everybody else's fault. It's very much if you want to talk to somebody, come talk to me.
The last thing I was gonna say was people had been lauding the Lakers as because the Lakers are the Lakers, they get more coverage than anybody else.
Yeah.
And they have more fans than everybody else. They're the Cowboys of the NBA. They're the Yankees of the NBA. So you run into their fans just like if you pay attention to basketball, you run into Laker fans like as easy as it is to breathe air, basically.
Yeah.
Like they're everywhere. And the amount of times people have tried to convince me Rui Hachimura is he's the piece. Or yeah. Jackson Hayes, he's the yeah. piece. Or Jared Vanderbilt, he's the piece. Or Dorian Finney-Smith, he's the piece. And I'm like, every time I'm like, if these guys, like, you guys are not listening to yourself. Because if another team got these guys, you would be clowning them if they said that's the piece. Like, they've put a collection of shit around two supremely talented guys. One, you know, on the back nine of his
borderline
career.
All-star, yeah.
And then you have Austin Reeves, who is ascending. He had a really great season this year. For anybody,
I was talking
standards.
About when I said borderline all-star. I was
yeah.
Talking
I was about to say
LeBron
you
James.
Have him. You know, he's getting into that stratosphere. But if all we have to do is worry about three guys, like we could literally, I'll leave the other people on an island.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Luka, you want to go crazy? Fine. Let's make sure LeBron doesn't do anything. Let's like make sure Austin Reeves doesn't do anything.
And they have the size to do it. They have the size to do it. They have the
they have the size, right? The clog There's of the lane, everywhere. And they have the length and defensive ability to cover the perimeter in a way that it's just unique. They are, last year I called them the Nugget Stoppers. Like they're kind of created to beat any team. If you want to try to create an inside-outside game,
yeah, you like, can't do it.
You can't really do it. It's going to be really hard.
Looking at this whole thing, it would be like Golden State or one of these outside-in teams that would give them the most trouble.
Give them the most shot where you could shoot them down.
Yeah.
But like, if you got to get anything in the middle, in the paint, like it's going to be a long day.
it's so tough. All right, we're going to move on to today's games. Oklahoma City, Memphis. We could have waited to play that sounder because I don't need to talk about this one. They won by 51 points.
This game this was over in the first
seven minutes. I saw it too. I literally watched the first quarter and I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. I got other stuff I got
to
do.
We went to Ariel's grandparents' house for the Easter dinner and I've never sworn in front of them. The amount of times I was like, damn, oh my gosh, oh, holy smoke. Like, every time I looked up, another person was catching an alley-oop or a fast break or hitting a three. I'm like, is Memphis even playing? Are they trying? Like, this is crazy. I can't remember when the second half started. I kind of stopped paying attention to the game entirely.
Yeah.
Did the starters even play in the second half?
I watched the first quarter and I was like,
I know the whole fourth quarter they didn't because we were done eating by then. And I started looking at the game and I was like, I don't think a starter is in for the entire.
I don't recognize a name on these.
So many. There was a guy last name Joe on the court, and I was like, we've reached the end of the bench now.
Huge shout out, Isaiah Joe.
I was like, we've officially reached the end of the bench. A guy last name Joe is in the game.
God,
he played 20 minutes.
It was bad. We don't need. It's interesting. The one thing I want to point out that's interesting is Denver firing their coach and their GM later than Memphis did. You could see the differences where it's like Memphis imploded and Denver has flourished. Denver's won like. I think they said every game.
They haven't lost a game yet.
And then you see Memphis kind of going the other direction. But that comes down to the leadership in the locker room.
It also comes from, I was gonna say, I don't want to dismiss that, but I also want to point to, it also comes from who's taking the helm. The guy that Memphis is giving the job to was a guy they hired this year. So yeah. Last year they fired all the assistants, left Taylor Jenkins. Then when they fired Taylor Jenkins, they fired him and one other assistant that was brought in this year. That guy has to be looking around like, how did I?
What did I do?
And they gave the job to a guy who had never coached in the NBA, let alone at any top level of basketball. I think he had like some lower league.
He's like
Euro.
A Polish guy, right?
Or? Yeah, he had some lower league Euro experience, but not like the top Euro league experience. And David Adelman, who has been around the game his entire life, his dad was Rick Adelman, who's been on the Denver bench for 5-6 years at this point. Most of, I want to say probably even longer than that. He might have been there the whole 10 years that Mike Malone's been there. So he has the a respect from the players that is just so different. So when he is speaking, there's a respect level there because this is somebody who, yes, he wasn't the lead man, but he's been there through all the times with them.
Yeah, so that also, yeah, you're absolutely right. That makes a lot of sense. I was sorry, I was just looking up David Adelman.
I figured you were. I was trying to give you some time. You started talking about it. I was like, okay, he's found it.
Yeah, so he's been an assistant with Denver since 2017. So
yeah, he's been so almost the whole time, yeah.
And everything he learned as an assistant with the Orlando Magic. Speaking of the Orlando, he was just there for a year.
And the T-Wolves, I believe.
Yeah, before that. Oklahoma City's going to sweep this. Pretty aggressively. Bludgeoning.
Holy fuck. I didn't get this right. I will say I didn't get this right. I thought this would be more competitive. It was not.
It was not. It was not. Close. We've got Boston, Orlando. This game, just real quick, since this is my hometown team, going into halftime, Orlando was up. Paolo was playing great, keeping people off the threes. White had a couple of threes, and you're like, all right, no big deal. And then he's heating up NBA Jam style and was not missing shots. We held Tatum to like 1-3 into the fourth quarter. He had like 13 points, which is like, yeah, good. That's what we want. But the problem is Orlando doesn't have any offense. The rest of the team, if you take Paolo and Franz out of it, scored 27 points. You cannot win a playoff game like that against the best three-point shooting team statistically in history, or the most three-point shooting team in history. They said something like that on the broadcast.
No one else in double figures outside of Franz and Paolo.
The offense is horrific. It has been all year. We are missing the heart of the team, in Jalen Suggs, but it was bad. I said,
sorry,
last week,
I'm not letting that slide. If Jalen Suggs is the heart of your team, you are a carcass. Paolo Banchero is the heart of your team.
I meant like the heart of my team in the sense of like how White is the heart of the Celtics. Like Tatum and Brown are the better players, but like White is like the guy that they, you know what I mean? Like Marcus Smart a few years ago, like he's the best defender, one of the best defenders in
the NBA.
Yeah,
if Suggs is the heart of your team, you better get a new heart. You better get a transplant. That's all.
What are
I'm
you
saying.
Talking about? People say White's the heart of the Celtics all the time.
No, I said if Suggs is your heart,
oh, yeah,
you better get a transplant, because I've famously said a couple years ago before the Magic went on a run last year to be like a top five team. If you got to rely on Cole, I think at the time it was Cole, Fultz, and Suggs. I was like, then you don't, if you have to rely on all three of them, you don't have anything going in your backcourt. And Cole Anthony gave you nothing. Yes. Yes.
I was going to say,
from the point guard position. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, because Suggs is like a top tier defensive player. He shut down LeBron James before.
I don't think that's true.
Well,
I just don't think that's true. I can't see every game every night, but I don't think that's true.
He's the one who always gave Tatum the trouble. That's why the matchup was like hard for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, damn, Derek White 30. Our boy.
I know.
I will want to say this. I haven't done it enough, and Lord knows I've called out when I've been correct. But I think it was when I was in Dallas, 2022. It was our second NBA preview. And I gave this white boy is going to be, the White Chocolate Award for the best white up and coming white player. And I called Peyton Pritchard coming out of Oregon. I think he was in his second year at that time. And he's about to be sixth man of the year. I just want to put on record. I saw it before everybody else.
You saw it.
It be your own people, especially you white people, man. Y'all don't be looking out for y'all white NBA players. Y'all be putting them down if they not the superstars. I saw the vision with Peyton Pritchard. I just want to say that.
I'm sorry. I went down a rabbit hole on Suggs.
Can I see his defensive metrics?
Yeah.
All right, we said we were zooming past that. Well, let's zoom.
Yeah, we are going to zoom past that one. Cleveland,
Miami. We can zoom past the next one, too. It's more interesting how Miami got here than this actual game.
Lost by 21 points.
Yeah, I would say this game was close early on. I think going into the half, it was like a 7-point game, 6-point game. 31-31, that's 62. 24-30, that's 54. 62-54, 8-point game. My math right there?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an 8-point game, and then it was tied in the third, and then similar to the Knicks-Detroit game, just explosion in the fourth quarter, and it was kind of a wrap after that. But how Miami got here and how they keep doing this is really annoying. And I want to say, for all the people out there that say, oh, the load management and the NBA players, they don't take the regular season seriously. The organization that has been priding themselves on culture and work ethic and we do it the right way.
Heat culture, baby.
They make the most mockery of the regular season. If you played how you did in the play-in games, like a percentage of that throughout the regular season, you wouldn't be in the damn play-in game. Stop ending up three seasons they've been in the play-in game and made it out of the play-in. Stop ending up in the play-in games. You're better than that, obviously.
Playoffs, yeah. Real quick, just
Because it's dumb that the 10 seed can have an avenue to make it to the goddamn postseason.
You're preaching to the choir. I am a liar. I'm just a liar.
I know. He's a good defender. He's not otherworldly.
He's second team all defense, so he's not even an awesome defender. He's just a good defender. I don't know.
No, that's still awesome. You got to think. I mean, of all the players in the NBA, he's a top 10 defender.
I thought he always gave superstars trouble, though, and then I pulled up the Jason Tatum. So in the 6 head-to-head matchups of Suggs and Tatum, Tatum averages 22.3 points.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's not even going to guard Jason Tatum. You got to remember, Jason Tatum's like 6'9", 6'10"-ish. Suggs is 6'4 at best.
But I like him. I love him.
He's a good player. Right.
Houston Golden State. I believe we had this, Joe, more than I did, but Golden State. It was the same kind of thing as we talked about with the Knicks in Detroit. Literally the same script almost, where the first quarter you're like, oh, we have ourselves a game here, boys. Houston's playing really, really well. And then they just let the lead go and never got it back.
Second quarter.
Yeah. Never got it back.
To hold a team to 13 points in an NBA quarter, that's 12 minutes. But that's not like 10 minutes in there's no halves. There's no quarters in college. That's not 8 minutes in high school where that seems a little more feasible. 12 agonizing minutes where you can't produce at all. And the other team is only producing.
Let's not forget baskets are worth 2. So you just needed to make 6.
My gosh. That's
all you could make was 6.
Or you could just make, you could make what, 4 to get to 12, 4 threes and get to 12. Like, so obviously Golden State. Entire
quarter of NBA basketball.
I would say they tried to recover a little bit at the end there. They kept it close, kept it a little competitive, a little interesting. Made it a 10-point game at the end, but Golden State, I think, is winning this run.
When Curry hit that logo 3, I was like, oh, this game's over.
Yeah, it's a wrap. It's a wrap, excuse. The Warriors are just better. They're more seasoned. They've been through all of these. They went and got a second guy who's just as seasoned and just
number one in
adept
defense since
to
Jimmy
this
got there.
Type of Can things. You, like
the Warriors are number one in defense entire NBA since
Draymond. You got Jimmy. You got Moses Moody. You got Kevon Looney coming off the bench. Like,
don't forget about the glove son.
Yeah, yeah, really good. So, yeah, this is Rap City, Rap City.
Rap City, bitch.
City.
All right. So we don't want to, just real quick for the listeners, We're not trying to rush through this. It's game one. It's a lot of game ones. We're not going to overreact. Games like 2, 3 next week when we come on, we'll have a lot more to talk about.
We'll have a lot more games. We'll have more sample sizes. Some series may be closer to over, if not over. So
Oklahoma City, Memphis will be over.
Let's
go to the quick hit.
If 4 games are played between now and then, it will be over.
They might call it in 3.
And you'll be surprised how quick.
Quick! Name it, hits
quick hit.
All right. We're talking quick hits. Like we alluded to earlier, we have finally made it in to the NHL playoffs. So a lot of stuff has been happening. Let's talk about the bracket. Sorry, my Zen got all twisted around. Joe, how are your Ice Cats doing?
We are going to face off with you guys on Tuesday. So that's
Oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? There's been one playoff game?
It just started today. Today was the first round of
games. How long does this season take?
No, sorry. Yesterday was the first round of games. But they don't do it like the NBA when the first round of games where everybody plays Saturday, Sunday. They had like 3 games yesterday, 3 games today. Like, I think 2 games tomorrow, 2 games Tuesday.
Sorry. I'm just now seeing this game two. Yeah. All right.
But the thing is, like, they then play like every other day. Like, it doesn't even matter. Like, there's like where the NBA will give you like 2 or 3 days rest in the first round. Once they get going, it's just fucking going. It's snorting coke type of just go.
Yeah.
But so far we have, I'll start in the Western Conference. The Winnipeg Jets took game one over the Blues 5-3. Colorado Avalanche won last night. They were the 3 seed. They beat the 2 seed Stars 5-1. And right now, Vegas Golden Knights are up 3-1 on the Wild. In the Eastern Conference, the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Senators. How bad did that end up being? 6-2. I knew it was a bloodbath. Oof. And then the Hurricanes beat the Devils, and that was 4-1. So those are the 5 series we have. Well, no, 1, 2, 3, 4. So 4 series we have results for. 1 series, Golden Knights are up 3-1 in the 3rd period right now. So if that holds, then we have all those results in hand. But yeah, we got Caps Canadiens tomorrow, as well as game 2 of Stars and Avalanche, game 2 of Jets and the Blues, as well as game 1 of the Kings and the Oilers. And then on Tuesday, we have game 2 of Hurricane Devils, game 1 of Lightning Panthers, and then game 2 of Leafs and Senators.
All right, beautiful. So again,
by the way, everybody's available for the Panthers. Everybody's available for the Panthers, except Aaron Ekblad, who is still on PED suspension. But outside of that, everybody is available for the Panthers.
Little salary cap trick there. Learn it from the best. Learn it from Tampa Bay. Yeah. Moving on, we had the WNBA draft.
We did have the WNBA draft.
So Paige Becker's going first.
As we predicted
here, she went to the Wings, my Dallas Wings.
She went to your Dallas Wings. Your Dallas Wings are stacking up right now.
I know.
They let go of Satu Sabally. She went to Phoenix, but they still got Arike Ogunbowale. They're going to bring in Paige. I can't remember the Tasha Howard stayed.
Can't get mad at that.
But France. Seattle, the Storm, got the center from France. Dominique Malunga.
6'6".
Three really good picks from DC in the first round.
Yeah, as I said, DC had a lot.
Sonia Citron, Kiki Irifin. I believe that's her name. She was a power forward out of USC. And Georgia Amor, who Kyle was a fan of when she was originally at Virginia Tech. She spent her last season at Kentucky with her former coach.
She's 5'5". You don't see that a lot in the WNBA.
Yeah, in the W, you see that more often than not. You don't see it a ton, but there are some shorter, because, I mean, women tend to be smaller on average.
No, I understand that, but yeah, I get how biology works, Joe. I'm just saying, I'm looking at all these women here, and it's the next shortest one is 5'9".
Yeah, I mean, I look, everyone. I'm not saying it's every other draft pick, but I'm saying like once every like 2 years, you know, you get somebody who's a little shorter in stature. Anissa Morrow, who went from, I want to say it was DePaul to LSU. She was the leading scorer, what, 2 seasons ago at DePaul. She went to LSU last year. She got drafted by the Connecticut Sun, who are now in a rebuilding phase after losing Breonna Jones and Alyssa Thomas. I believe Dawana Bonner is still there, so that'll be fun. They also drafted Saniya Rivers. Haley Van Lith went to Chicago. They're pairing her back up with Andrew Reese after they had one season together at LSU. Other notables, Tahina Pau-Pau from South Carolina, the other USC, got drafted by my Atlanta Dream.
Can we real quick just talk about the Minnesota Lynx taking Anastasia Kosu?
What about it?
A couple things. Took her in the with a third pick in the second round. No pre-draft analysis, really. No stats, no picture, no nothing. Out of Russia.
Sometimes it's what did you do?
Not even a height. Kind of weird.
I mean, you know, they probably have more information than ESPN probably does. So that's the thing. You're looking at it's off the ESPN tracker. But yeah, those were the biggest draft picks. Caitlin Chen from UConn. She got drafted by the Golden State Valkyrie. The Valkyrie had a pick in the first round as well. They traded into the first round because usually as an expansion team, you don't get a first round pick, but they traded into the first round and they got Juiced Joist from Lithuania. So interesting as the season gets ready to go here. Actually, I need to start making sure. Jordan Horston and can't remember Nakia. Oh, dang, both of them got ACL tears. Dang, that's tough. That's tough. But I need to get the season ready for the thing. What's the thing again? Fantasy. It's getting late. All right.
Moving on. Everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Joe, it's a somber day here in the corner. Take us through it.
Yeah, Brennan, it's a somber day. It was looking to be a glorious day, a wonderful day, joyous day, some would even say. Started early. Fulham got a goal. Can't remember how early in the game it was. It was around like 16th, 20th minute. Alex Iwobi got a goal. Fulham was pretty much holding on to that goal for dear life. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to see every second of the game because eventually I had to get in the car, drive to the lady's mom's house. But then I got back to the game. It was still 1-0 with about 70 minutes left, and Fulham was still holding on to the lead, looking like they were threatening for maybe a second goal, needed what I believed was a second goal, wasn't able to get it. And then in the 83rd minute, just a rocket from Tyreek George put it in the back of the net. Looks like, okay, maybe we'll have to settle for a draw here at extra time, 6 minutes of extra time, like, oh, white knuckling. And Pedro Neto just got a clear 93rd minute, got a clear Jedi was trying to knock it away. I think Cole Palmer got a foot on it and kept it nearby. And Pedro Neto just shoots with all his might and gets it past Bernd Leno, and that's pretty much the end of the game. Very annoying because, you know, really would have wanted to beat Chelsea.
Well, it's a heartbreaker too, because it's like it was ours.
It was ours for 83 minutes. Like we were,
and you're like, we got it. 93 minutes, because I'll take a draw against Chelsea.
Yeah. But yeah, those two late goals were definitely a body blow. So yeah, you lick your wounds. And you look forward to the next game because there's always more opportunities. I think we have, what, like 5 games left in the season. So,
still in the top 10.
Still in the top 10. Five games left. And we've gotten past the brutal part of the schedule. I was going to say those last couple of games were Liverpool, where we ended up winning that. You had Bournemouth, we ended up losing that. Arsenal, you lose 2-1. And then the Chelsea game, you lose 2-1 as well. That was kind of the tougher part of the schedule. Part of the schedule where you didn't think it was easy to concede that you might not get a lot of points. So the points we were able to get in that was pretty good. But now you got Southampton, Villa, Everton, Brentford, two teams that are down in the relegation zone. Brentford, who I believe is top 10 still. Villa, I can't remember where Villa is right now. Are they on the back half? No, Villa's at 7. Brentford is at 11, so Brentford's bottom half right now. And then you got Everton at 13, and you got Southampton, that's the worst team in the league. And then you got a very confused Man City. Do they have anything to play for with the last game of the season as far as positioning, maybe money? Do they throw out some of their young guys? You know, could you steal that game and potentially ascend a little more? So,
but five games four, left. So aren't they still eligible for the tournament?
Yeah, they're still champions right now. But at that last game, could they have a locked in spot where they're not going to get any better?
Week 18 in the NFL
potential kind of exactly. Stuff. You know, why put anybody out there for potential injury? If it's not going to improve your standing any more or less.
So we need them to maybe lock that up.
Yeah.
Come at us with some backups, some B teams.
Pretty much. Because that could be the difference. I think they're saying between 6 and 8 could get into Euros, just with how everything's playing out. So I would say if we can get back into that 7-8 spot, 6-7 spot to be a little more comfortable with it. There's only we're not getting 7. They're at 57 points. I mean, we'd have to win every single game. Because 5 times 3 is 15. 15 plus 48 will get us to
63.
It's the odd number, 63. So, yeah, if we won every single game, then we'd, ascend. But I think 3 out of 5 is not bad to ask for. That'll probably get you somewhere around the 7th spot. And if you could draw the other two games without losing it, I think that really will bode well. So,
boom.
All right.
All right. Thank you for that, Fulham Corner. And we're going to come back next week.
The press conference in its entirety.
I was going to give us a little positivity about Fulham.
Sorry,
but I guess not.
My bad.
Joe, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Joe Dorval. You can find this show's Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Cheering Press. Don't forget to check out the other shows on the Anulo Network. That is Who Does a Podcast. That is Anulo itself. We're doing 8 Mile this week. I think I mentioned that last time. We're doing 8 Mile with Scott.
This is the first time hearing it.
Yeah, I think I was talking complete unknown last week still. But yeah, we're doing 8 Mile with Scott by Scott this Tuesday. The episode will be out on Wednesday. That's going to be a fun episode. I can already foresee it. Brendan, where can we... don't forget to check out, the merch, Headphone Joe, NoOhNoIanTheFone.etsy.com, and the music anywhere you find music, Headphone Joe, NoOhNoIanTheFone. Brendan, sorry, where can we find you?
At Brendan T. Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. Second leg of the Bro Adjacent Tour. I will be in Florida at the end of May. I'm going to be in Charlotte on the 27th of April. So if anyone hears this and lives in and around the Charlotte area, you should come out to that show. Check out my other podcast, Your Ex-Drinking Buddy. I have a guest on to talk about their best and worst drinking, drug, and getting in trouble stories. This week, Antonio Barbosa was on, talked about going to some concerts, getting a little too messed up, and ended up in the hospital a couple of times. So check that out wherever you get podcasts.
All right. Brandon, get us out of here so we can hit the hay.
All right. And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Huge shout out. Heard the greatest thing on the broadcast today. The chef and the butler are cleaning house. I was like, that's great.
Very good.